The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew illustrates that whether we believe or whether we have varying levels of unbelief is determined by what we focus our attention on. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to teach on a subject that I've entitled Hardness of Heart. I've got a teaching out on this. It's in book form. It's also in CD form. We've got DVDs that were taken from our television program. And there's four parts to this DVD set. And we are now in the second part, and we're talking about what causes our heart to be hardened towards God. If you watched my programs last week, I defined hardened from the dictionary as being cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding. What causes our hearts to be that way towards God? Well, I started dealing with this yesterday out of Mark chapter 6, and in verse 52, after Jesus came walking to his disciples on the sea, it says, when they saw him, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And then in verse 52, it says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. This makes a direct comparison or relationship between our hearts being hardened and what we consider. And so the word consider, I defined that yesterday based on the dictionary. Again, the word consider means to study, to ponder, deliberate, examine, or I believe a scriptural term would be to meditate, or you could say focus. Whatever your focus, your attention, your thought life, the thing that you are dominated by, you start becoming sensitive to that. The thing that you fail to be dominated by, you start becoming hardened to that. It's a process. Layer by layer by layer, you become insensitive towards whatever you neglect. And here's where I believe that most Christians are, this is how most Christians become insensitive to God. It's not through direct disobedience and hatred of God. Now again, I used on our program yesterday Hebrews chapter 3, and it says your heart can become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you are in direct disobedience, if you are living a life of sin, God still loves you, but you won't love God the same. Your heart will become hardened, insensitive, cold, unfeeling, unyielding towards God. So if you're living in sin, stop it. But I believe that with most Christians, and certainly with myself, it wasn't that I hated God or that I was living a life of sin and rebellion, and yet I found myself insensitive towards God in certain areas, not because of sin, but by neglect. I was being occupied by the things of this world. I was spending more time thinking naturally than I was thinking supernaturally. I was spending more time in the natural than in the supernatural. And because of that, my heart was hardened, insensitive, cold, unfeeling, and unyielding towards the supernatural. I don't know if you understand that, but that is a powerful truth. Whatever you consider, focus your attention upon, dominate yourself with, you become sensitive to that. Whatever you neglect, you might still retain the knowledge, but you aren't going to be sensitive to it. If you listen to my program earlier, I was using Mark chapter 8, where Jesus listed some of the characteristics of a hardened heart. And he said in Mark chapter 8, verse 17, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? That's a characteristic of a person with a hardened heart. Neither understand? That's a characteristic of a person with a hardened heart. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Those are five things that are characteristic of a person that with a hardened heart. They can't perceive, they can't understand, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't remember spiritual things. And then he goes on to say this in verse 19, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. Now, remember here, he's saying you can't remember. So then he asked him a question. When I fed these 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish, how many baskets full of fragments did we have left over? They said 12. When I fed the 4,000 men with 7 loaves, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said 7. They still had information. They still had knowledge. They had facts. They could pass the test if all it was what is the answer to this? But these truths weren't impacting their lives. It wasn't making any difference. Boy, I don't know if you're getting this or not. The point I'm trying to get across, according to Mark chapter 6, verse 52, whatever you consider, think upon, study, ponder, deliberate, examine, meditate, focus on, the things that you put your attention on, you are going to be dominated, sensitive to those. Those things are going to dominate you and control you. Whatever you fail to consider, you become hardened to. That doesn't mean that you lose the information. It just means that that information isn't going to impact you in a life-changing way. And I believe that this is where a lot of Christians are. For instance, let me just take a for instance here. You know, there's a lot of people who I've heard talk about ministering overseas, third world countries. I remember T.L. Osborne, Reinhard Bonnke, a number of these people talk about that when they minister overseas, they seldom ever get through with a message because miracles just start happening. I forget who this was. I think it was Reinhard Bonnke. Talked about a woman who was paralyzed from the waist down. She had to take a bus for hundreds and hundreds of miles. And finally, she got to the edge of this field where there was over 1 million people listening to Reinhard Bonnke. And she got to the edge of the crusade field and physically drug herself up to close to a tree. And she was leaning up against a tree. She had never heard the gospel. She never heard any of these things, but she had heard that, you know, there were people being healed and she needed to be healed. So she came. And the very first time she ever heard the scripture that by his stripes we were healed, 1 Peter 2:24, she heard that scripture one time. And this woman who was paralyzed pulled herself up with her arms and forced herself to extend her body and get her legs under her, and boom, like that, healing happened. And this woman got healed and started praising God, and it interrupted his message, and he just had to start giving invitations for people to be healed and saved and set free, because he says that that's the way it happens most of the time. Miracles start happening. Now get a picture of this. Here's a person who has never heard the gospel, never knew these scriptures, didn't know anything. And the very first time they hear a scripture, faith comes and, man, they believe and they get a miracle. And as Reinhard Bonnke was giving that testimony, somebody in the audience says, why do more miracles happen in foreign countries, in third world countries, than in these developed countries? And see, most people think that God just does something special for them. I believe that it has to do with the condition of their heart. Over here, there are many of you that have heard that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. You've got that information, but you aren't focused on it. You aren't committed to it. As a matter of fact, you've probably heard it and then had the tradition of men. Mark chapter 7, verse 13 says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition and doctrines of men. Many such like things do ye. The tradition, religious tradition, dilutes and takes the power out of the Word of God. And so there's many of you that have heard that by His stripes we're healed. But then on the other hand, they'll turn around and say, but God might have put sickness on you to teach you something. This might be God's judgment. Maybe He's trying to perfect you and make you better. And we have 1,001 excuses and things that have diluted and hindered it. And so you've got knowledge over here, but you aren't committed to it, focused on it. Your heart has become insensitive, hardened towards it. And so, like these disciples, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They had the information, but that information didn't affect their decisions. When the Lord says, what are we going to do to feed these people? Instead of going back and remembering when He fed the 5,000 with just a very little amount of food, they acted like they had never seen a miracle before, and they pulled their wallet out. Well, we don't have enough money to feed all of these people. You better send them away. The knowledge that they had didn't impact them because they were calloused towards it. They were hardened towards it. They were insensitive. Likewise, today, there are people that know that God heals, But you can't get healed, not because you don't have the knowledge, but because you're hardened towards it. You spend more time watching as the stomach turns, watching some emergency room television show where they're only dealing with physical problems in a natural way. You spend more time thinking naturally about sickness than you do supernaturally. You've got the right information, but that information isn't impacting you because you aren't focused upon it. Man, that is powerful. And I know that there's lots of people that disagree with me. There's lots of people thinking, oh, you're extreme. You're fanatic. Well, let me just say it this way. I'm getting pretty good results. I've not arrived, but I've left. I'm still desiring to see every single person healed every single time. I'm not to that place yet, but I have been walking in supernatural healing. I've only had sickness once in the last 38 years. Have any success in my body. I've seen my son raised from the dead. I've seen other people raised from the dead. I've seen lots of miracles happen. If you aren't getting as good a results as I've got, then maybe you ought to consider that I'm doing something that you aren't doing. And I believe it all centers around this hardness of heart. I am so committed, so focused upon the healing power of God that I don't consider any other alternatives. I don't sit there and watch somebody deal with sickness in only a human way. I just don't do that. I would sit there and discount that and say, no, man, I'm going to believe God. And I don't sit there and consider those kind of things. Whatever you consider, you're going to be dominated by. Whatever you fail to consider, you won't be dominated by. You know, when they come on the radio, I don't watch hardly any television. I'm on television. I'm not against television. I'm not saying television is of the devil. I'm just saying most of the stuff that's on it is of the devil. You have to be very selective in what you watch. Even on Christian television, there's a lot of it that's not preaching the true Word of God. But so as a result, I don't watch much television. The way I get my news is basically when I'm driving in a car, I'll turn on the radio and get news in little 2 and 3 minute segments. It's very hard to put out a lot of unbelief in 2 or 3 minutes. And so that's one of the reasons I do that. And that's basically how I find out what's going on. And even in those little brief segments that I listen to what's going on in the world, they will come out with tremendous unbelief. They'll say it's flu season and everybody's going to get the flu. Well, that's not a scriptural statement. I'm not going to get the flu. But you can ask my wife that even something that small, just a little statement, if that comes over the radio, I'll never let something like that be said without me countering it by saying, I'm not going to get the flu. It isn't flu season for me. Over in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, the scripture there says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord. Notice that it says you have to condemn those words that rise against you. It doesn't just say no weapon formed against you will prosper, period. No, there's something you have to do. You have to condemn the words, the unbelief, the things that are spoken contrary to what God says about you. And there's a lot of Christians who will let just people speak about, well, we're in a recession, you're going to fail, you can't prosper, when the Bible very clearly says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here's what God says, that He's going to meet your needs. They're talking lack and recession over here, and people will listen to that. And if you consider that, then you may know that Philippians 4:19 says God will supply your needs, but you aren't going to be sensitive to it. This truth won't impact you. Instead, fear of what people are saying over here will dominate you. How do you keep that from happening? You have to condemn those words. I will never let somebody speak negative over finances without me countering it with my words. I'll never let them say that it's flu season or that, you know, you've got a genetic disposition to heart problems. My dad died of heart problems. And so some people would say, well, then you've got a tendency. You've got to watch out for this. I'll sit there and counter that and say, no, man, I have changed families. I've got the blood of Jesus flowing in me. By His stripes I'm healed. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. I'll sit there and condemn any negative thing spoken against me, against my finances, against my family. And see, there's a lot of people that don't do that. They will sit there and expose themselves to adultery, to lying, to murder, stealing, ungodliness, watch those kind of things for entertainment. They will consider that. And whatever you consider, you're going to be dominated by. But if you fail to consider it, you'll be hardened towards that. I'm hardened towards sickness. I'm hardened towards poverty. I'm hardened towards strife because I don't use strife and stuff like this to entertain me. I know that some of you think I'm weird. Well, I think you're weird if you don't discipline yourself, because see, this is what hardens your heart. Whatever you consider, your heart becomes sensitive to. Whatever you fail to consider, your heart becomes hardened towards. Look at this over in Romans chapter 4. This is talking about Abraham. And it's using him as an example of faith. And in verse 18, it says, who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that whatsoever he had promised, he was able also to perform. Notice it says in verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Remember what I was saying from Mark chapter 6, verse 52, where it says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Whatever you fail to consider, you start becoming hardened to, insensitive to. You might still retain the knowledge, but that knowledge isn't going to liberate you or set you free. You become hardened to what you fail to consider. This says that Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Let me just ask you that if you had been believing God for a child your entire life and your wife was barren and you were unable to have children and you were 99 years old and God came to you and said, you're finally going to get your child, your wife is going to conceive, and when you turn 100, then you're going to have a child. If God was to tell you that, how would you respond? Well, first of all, a lot of you wouldn't want a child at 100 years old. But I'm just saying, if you wanted a child, amen, if this is something you'd been believing for and you wanted it more than anything, and if God told you it was going to happen when you were 100 and your wife was 90, 91, how would you respond? You know what most people would do? They would go to a doctor and get checked up. And they would find out, am I able to have children? Check my wife out. Is she able to have children? You know, it's already ceased to be with her, according to women, but maybe she's starting back up again. You know, is she able to have children? We would get checked out. We would get some kind of a deal. We would get on the internet, and we would try and find out what's the oldest age that anybody's ever had a child. We would do all of these things and consider, focus, ponder, study, examine in the physical, natural realm everything that we possibly could to see if this is possible. And after everybody says, no, it's not possible, and we assimilate and accumulate all of this huge amount of unbelief, then we go back to God and say, God, according to everything I've studied, according to the doctor, according to this, according to how I feel, according to my wife, according to everything, it's impossible. Are you sure that this was you? And he says, yes, you're going to have a child when you're 100 years old. After we would consider all of our body and our wife, then we'd say, all right, God, I'm going to try and believe you. And then we'd wonder, why is it so hard to believe God? You know why Abraham was able to receive this? Because he considered not his own body now dead. Abraham didn't respond the way that you and I would. He didn't look at the fact that he was 100 years old. He didn't look at how old his wife was and the fact that she had ceased to function, you know, as a woman that can bear children. He didn't consider those things. He didn't think about it. He didn't study it. He didn't ponder. He didn't examine it. He was focused only on the promise of God, so shall your seed be. And here's a point that I'm going to make today. I'm not going to be able to finish this today. I'll take it tomorrow. But this is one of the greatest truths that God has ever shown me. And I'll give you a scripture for this tomorrow, and we'll go a lot further into it. But here's a radical thought. You cannot be tempted with something that you don't think. If you don't think things that give you unbelief, you would never have unbelief. Unbelief doesn't just come. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Unbelief also comes by hearing, but not the Word of God, the Word of the devil. And it can be disguised in the word of a doctor, the word of a lawyer, the word of a friend, the word of a mate, anybody else. But faith comes by having somebody or something else tell you something contrary to what, unbelief comes by having someone or something tell you something contrary to the Word of God. Unbelief comes by hearing just the same way that faith comes by hearing. You wouldn't have unbelief if you hadn't, first of all, thought and considered something contrary to what God says. That's profound. I don't know if you get that or not. Most people, this just goes right over their head. But this is one of the greatest truths I've ever learned. And you know, because of it, I have become so focused on God that I don't listen to other people. I don't take into account all of the critics. I don't go study all of the reasons why something can't work. I just look at the Word of God and find out what God's Word promises, and then I get that Scripture and I meditate on it, and I get so single-minded on the things of God that honestly I don't know how to disbelieve God. I don't know how to not trust God. And I know some of you think that this is absolutely weird, that you can't live that way. Well, don't wake me up, because this is how I'm living. I am living a life that is focused on God to such a degree that honestly, I don't have some of the baggage that most of you have. I don't watch shows that get me depressed. I don't watch shows that make me angry and bitter. I don't watch shows that cause me to lust. And because of it, guess what? I'm not tempted with lust. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I'm not fearful. I'm not depressed. Many of you are watching very depressing things. You are looking at all of the negatives in your life instead of praising God for the good things. Instead of going to the Word of God and thanking Him for what you do have, you're thinking about all of the things that you don't have. And then you're wondering why you're depressed. If I was to look at everything in my life that isn't right, I could be depressed. I'm not going to take time today, but I've got a lot of things going on in my life that could be different. Not only my life, but family members, people around me, people that I know that I see hurting. I could take an offense. I could be discouraged. I could be depressed just like anybody else. But I am not thinking on that. You cannot be tempted with something that you don't think on. Therefore, I think only on the Word of God. I think only on the promises that God wants me to have. And because of it, all I'm tempted with is faith and victory, and joy, and peace. That is so simple, you got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. But I tell you what, the average person does not know this. On our program tomorrow, I'm going to start going a lot deeper into this, and I'm going to use some Scripture to show you that you can't be tempted with something that you haven't already thought on. And if you can understand that and apply that to your life, this is going to revolutionize your walk with the Lord. And I believe that this teaching on hardness of heart could just transform you. So join me again tomorrow, and also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive this teaching that I have on hardness of heart.
Andrew's 4-part teaching titled Hardness of Heart is available in a CD album or in a DVD album as seen on Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount to the work of this ministry. Ask for number T1003 when you contact us. And be sure to specify the CD album or the As Seen on TV DVD album. Andrew's book titled Hardness of Heart is also available for a gift of any amount. Ask for item T303 when you write or call. The second and third teaching CDs titled The Cause, Part 1 and Part 2 are also available for a donation of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide these CDs free of charge. Request TK58 and TK58B when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send them to you.
I have a lot of material on this hardness of heart, and of course you can call or write and get these products that we're offering. You can also go to our website, and you can get not only the teaching on hardness of heart, but you can watch my television programs. I have over 8 years worth of TV programs right there on the web. I have about a dozen years worth of radio programs. I've got books. I've got hundreds of my teachings available free, free downloads. Our website is a great, great resource. I encourage you to check it out. We have the web address right there on your screen. And I tell you, it would be a blessing for you. So please check out the Andrew Womack Ministries website, and please take advantage of all the materials we have there.
You can use your credit card when you order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can order ministry materials on our website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. There, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, but you'll discover a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. Again, it's free as you navigate through the web pages of awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th, Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give all the men watching a special invitation to join me on February the 5th through the 7th here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs for a men's advance. We're going to have big 6'7" Dave Hinton leading praise and worship. And I tell you, he was just at our ministers' conference and he stole the show. He is awesome. I'm going to be teaching the word. Also, Wendell Parr, the director of our Charis Bible College, will be ministering. We have a lot of fun activities and chili suppers, and I think we're going to go bowling. And it's just a great, great time, and we always see men's lives change. So remember that this is February the 5th through the 7th, right here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more gospel truth.
You aren't just natural. You aren't just human. You are now born again. You have the supernatural power of God on the inside of you.